Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and praise the Lord. I am Dr. Alfreda Bradford. I am the pastor of the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, and we want to welcome you to our early morning services where we meet Monday through Saturdays at 6 a.m. in the morning, and then we are back on Sundays at 12 o'clock noon. We also have an altar prayer where we meet 5 days a week, two times a day for prayer. And we have Bible study and spiritual warfare training. And you can also follow us on all the media live streaming where we broadcast to millions of households over the media, internet, TV, Amazon, Hulu, Prime. Glory be to God. Follow us there, please. This week here is Oldies But Goodies. We have been airing on Blog Talk Radio for the last 10 years and 6 months. We have an excess of 3,000 messages in our library. And so we're going to travel back, and we're going to visit some of those good times. It was a good time then, it's a good time now, and it's going to be a good time in the future, because the Lord is good, and His Word is good, and everything that He made is good. So please enjoy the replay of our broadcast where we exalt Jesus Christ as King and Jesus Christ as Lord. Blessings on blessings on blessings.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Okay, we're on air. Okay. All right. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Alfreda B., Mentoring in Leadership. Thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to share with us on this beautiful Thursday evening, raining in the city of Philadelphia. We don't know what it's doing where you are, but we are here moving forward and the things that pertain to the King. Well, we want to make some fast announcements. On last Saturday, we had our leadership conference, The Beauty of Transition, and it was indeed a transition. It was raining very heavy in the Philadelphia area, but nevertheless, we moved forward. We had a nice crowd, and we also did take 2 episodes for the future broadcast on the Word Network, the Leadership Place. So if you have that to look forward to as we move forward. Also want to remind you that on Sunday, this Sunday here, November the 9th, 4:30 a.m., we will be airing on the Word Network, the Leadership Place. So if you're not an early riser, you might want to tape it, video record it, whatever you need to do to make reference to it. All of our DVDs, all of our recordings will be available on YouTube and also available on our website. So if you happen to miss one, you'll be able to go right to our website at alfredabradford.com and see what you missed. So our goal is to empower, to encourage, to motivate the leader in you. We are raising up leaders in this culture, causing you to stand up, step out, and be what the Lord has called you to be. And maybe some of you are already in serving in a leadership capacity, but we want to help you to just take it to the next level and to fulfill all your dreams and desires. For we know that our God is exceedingly abundantly above all he can do, all everything above, any above we can act or think according to the power that worketh in us. I got that a little bit tongue-tied. But what we're saying is if you can think it, God is going to exceed your expectations. If you can ask it, God is going to exceed your expectations. But it's according to the power that worketh in you. So there is some work to do on your part, because we know that faith without work is dead. So God works with you. And so if you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen, you're going to live life beneath your privileges. You're going to live a life of mediocrity. But if you want to go for the gusto, if you want to get all that God has promised you, all that Jesus came for you to have, for he came that we might have life and have that more abundantly, then you have to step out in faith. So this Sunday, November the 9th, on the Word Network, 4:30 a.m. Also, we just want you to keep an eye on our website at alfredabradford.com, where we are setting up now for a mega conference. We have some very, very exciting leaders who will be flying in from across the country. Mark that on your calendar, Saturday, June 6th. And we will be getting back to you with additional information in the near future in reference to venue, who our guest speakers are. And it is going to be a weekend of blast. We're just going to just take it off the chain, as the young people will say. We're going to have leadership workshops, in-depth training and teaching and encouragement and motivation. So please mark your calendar for Saturday, June the 6th, and keep an eye on the website at alfredabradford.com for additional information coming forth. And last but not least, if you take a look at our modified website, we now have sponsor ads on our website. We have banner ads, logo ads, supporter ads. So maybe you would like to be a sponsor for the ministry as we are touching lives around the globe, as we are bringing people into the fold with the call of salvation, and then we are equipping them to grow up in ministry. Truly, we are empowering leadership. We have many, many testimonies where leadership has been birthed, and so many people, and you will hear more about that as you see their testimonies. We have some of the testimonies already on our website. So we're doing a good work in the kingdom, and maybe you would like to be a sponsor for one of our shows. When people pluck on our dial into our website, they will, first thing they will see is your advertisement, your church, your ministry, your business on our banner ad. So take a look at alfredabradford.com, see what that looks like. If you'd like to be a part of that, please contact us on our contact page, or you can always call us at 267-719-3386. So that's it for our announcements at this particular time. We are very, very excited this evening. We have a guest with us, a woman highly esteemed and that I highly esteem in the gospel and the things that pertain to the work of the Lord. She is a leader. She is a woman after God's own heart. And I'm talking about Pastor Evelyn Holman Westfield, who is the founder and senior pastor of the Temple of Refuge Evangelistical Church. She has served in this position for 34 years. Pastor Westfield was born in Rustville, South Carolina, and raised in Charleston, South Carolina. Came to Philadelphia in 1952. Afterwards, accepted Christ as her personal Savior in 1950. She renewed her commitment to him in July of 1970. Soon afterwards, she became a faithful steward of the New Birth United Holiness Church under the leadership of the late Pastor Camilla Brown, who also served as her mentor. In February of 1964, she was led by God to start a weekly Bible study in her home. She was later led by the Holy Spirit to leave New Birth and birth a ministry of her own in the basement of her home. It was known as the Our Mission United Holiness Church, and she opened her doors on March the 4th, 1980, for Sunday morning worship. Its membership was small, but it vastly grew. Under the leadership of Pastor Westfield, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the church was renamed Temple of Refuge, United Holiness Church, and she became independent in 1994. Through Pastor Westfield's preaching and teaching, Temple of Refuge outgrew their basement home and relocated to its current location at 7544 Fayette Street, and it continues to grow. Many ministries have been started out of this church, and some former members have gone on to pastor their own churches. Because of Pastor Westfield's vision, Temple of Refuge has become just that, a place for those that are spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially wounded and in need of a safe place to find God, to find refuge and strength. Pastor Evelyn Westfield previously studied at Delaware Valley School of Ministry, Jameson Bible School, and more recently, Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary. Her favorite Bible passage is Isaiah, the 54th chapter. And she aspires every day to be more and more like Christ. She is married to the Michael A. Westfield. She has 8 daughters. She has 14 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. And she resides in the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia. Help me to welcome with us tonight Pastor Evelyn H. Westfield, who happens to be my mother. So we have had welcome, Mom. Welcome, Pastor Westfield, to Mentoring in Leadership with our Free to Be. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on tonight.
Good evening.
Yes,
it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Pastor Westfield, I'm going to call you Pastor Westfield tonight. I'll toss around a little bit because, you know, I call you Pastor Westfield anyhow. And one thing I share with people when I talk about you is the love that you exuberate as a Christian, as a born-again believer. Some people say that I am known for my faith and the gift of faith, but the Bible says, love now abides these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love. So you definitely are a true example of love, true example of Christian living. I was sharing with someone recently. I said, you know, I said, if they were still writing Bible stories today, how we pick up our Bibles now and we can move from any one of the 66 books to read the history and read the words of Jesus. I said if the Bible was still being written today, they would have a chapter or in the book pertaining to Pastor Westfield. So we thank God for you. And with me being raised up under your tutorage, under your leadership, and for over 40 years, and I know that you are definitely a woman of integrity, you're a woman of love, you do what you say, and you live by example. You just don't preach to others, but you live it yourself. So you have truly been an example to me, and I am who I am, and I am who I am becoming because of your mentorship. So I just want to just say thank you for being my mother as we begin our conversation on tonight. And thank you for agreeing. Pastor, share with our audience tonight, because I know you've been pastoring for quite a while, and you were in ministry several years before you answered your call to come into the pastorate. But how did you know? What did God do, or what were your signs, or what were your confirmation in your particular life to assure you or to confirm to you that you were called into ministry and to serve in the office of a pastor?
Before I begin, I would like to say good evening to the listening audience, and I thank you for inviting me to speak to your audience on this evening. To your question, well, I knew from an early age that I had a high calling on my life for ministry. In 1974, I was led to begin a Bible study class in my home. And in 1975, I felt a stronger calling, and I preached my initial sermon on Mother's Day of that year. And in 1980, I felt such a strong urging, a strong leading to begin ministry. In fact, when I said ministry, to become a pastor. I remained a member at the church where I had served as a faithful member for 10 years. And I felt the leading to branch out into my own ministry, which is now the Temple of Refuge Evangelistic Church. I couldn't get away from it. I knew that the Holy Spirit was propelling me to a higher calling. So because the passion was there, the inclination to do this work was there, I had no doubt about it. I knew that a call was on my life to pastor the church. It's the same church. Well, I started in the basement of my home, and this is exactly where I started my pastoring, in the basement of my home, and before branching out to where we are currently located at this time.
Wow, Pastor, that was, when I think about that, the courage that it took for you to step out over 30 years ago as a pioneer, as a female pastor, when women in ministry were frowned upon, and women in ministry, they were not supported, and it was a lot of debate and arguments about women in ministry. And for you to step out that is back in 1974 to move in this direction, I mean, that was really a lot of boldness, a lot of conviction, and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's really, really awesome. And you're still standing today.
Yes, I am.
And you're still standing.
And yes, to God be the
glory. I'm sure you've had many nights when you might have thought about turning around, many nights. Well, I came up under you, so I know some of the challenges, maybe many nights where you felt alone in your journey and really not quite understanding. But here we are some 40 years later, and you're still standing.
To God be the glory.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, you're talking about persistence, endurance, steadfastness. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone about you the church and how you're kind of small in number, but so many. If everybody that got saved under your ministry and everybody that started their own ministry in their own churches would come back for a good old home service, you wouldn't have space to hold everybody.
That's correct.
But even in spite of all of that, you're still standing. That's the thing that gets me here. Just, you know, all unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Boy, that is to be applauded, and we do applaud you on tonight. Now, we may have some people listening tonight that feel that they may also have a calling into, you know, the Round the Same venue to maybe to become a pastor or, you know, whatever the Lord might be calling them into to move forward in ministry. So what would you encourage them, Pastor Westfield, like what's just one, maybe one or two of the stars or whatever that they would know that is God and not them? I think there's a saying out that says many are called. No, some just went. No, wait a minute. Some were sent and some just went.
Yeah.
So how would you help out our listening audience tonight?
Well, I would advise anyone who is seeking this position to at first educate themselves on the Word of God. And then to set time for much praying and fasting, to count the cost before making the move, because the challenges are so great, and that their objectives should always be for souls and not for self.
Wow.
Gotta have the passion.
I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I think it's that last sentence.
I said you gotta have the passion for it.
Wow.
I remember that the objective should always be for souls and not for self. Yes.
You said a mouthful right there.
Yeah.
If your objective is for anything other than souls, then you're traveling the wrong avenue for the wrong reason.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's really, really awesome there. You really said a whole lot for anyone that is not quite sure if it's you or if it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you. And now, Pastor Westfield, now you came up through the ranks, serving, started out, I know that you was a faithful member.
Yes,
which,
I was.
I believe that's probably another secret of your success, because you was faithful as a follower. You was faithful to Pastor Carmela Brown. Every time the church doors was open, you was there. You was taking us from West Oak Lane to South Philadelphia on public transportation for Bible study, for choir rehearsal. You did that faithfully on Sunday morning for Sunday school before church started. You did that faithfully even before an automobile showed up. So you were very, very faithful as a follower.
Yes.
And then because of your faithfulness, because the Bible says a faithful man or a woman shall abound with blessings, and then God, so before you can lead, you have to learn how to follow.
Absolutely.
But now, this is what I would like the audience to know here. Not you did this with a husband until your first husband died.
Yes.
You had a husband and you had 8 children. At home.
Yes.
Everybody was home. I think I was the first one to go out, and everybody stayed around for a while. Now, Pastor, you have to share your secret here. You say focus in the ministry.
Yes.
You was obedient to the Lord. You was obedient to your pastor until the Lord led you out. You started your own church, yet you reared 8 girls, and all of them today are saved. Loving God. And you loved a husband, and you submitted to your own husband. Now, you got to have a secret here. Could you help us out a little bit?
Well, in raising my children, I tried to be a good example for my children to follow. I prayed for wisdom, They always say that when you have a child, they don't come. When you have children, they don't come with an instruction sheet. But I did have an instruction sheet because I had the Word of God. And I learned that in order to raise my children properly and giving them a good foundation, that I had to show them a lot of love and a lot of nurturing. The Word of God tells us to nurture our children, and I did just that. Pertaining to my husband, I prayed a lot for unity in the family. This was my second marriage, and my children, for the most part, father had died, and this is my second marriage, and I made sure that I kept the line of communication open. I tried to help to keep the line of communication opened, and I made sure that my children and my husband interacted. They always say it's very hard sometimes, you know, to keep that unity between a second husband and the children from a former marriage. But listen to me, sometimes, you know, you just have to make sure that you pray. The Word of God says to pray and without ceasing. I did that. Ask and it shall be given. I asked God to help in this and the relationships between my husband and my children, and he did just that. Also, for my husband, I had to make sure that I ate crow to grow. Sometimes you don't always have to have the last word. Sometimes it's good sometimes to just listen instead of talking all the time. I prayed, I listened, and I loved. I consulted God in situations that I felt that I was losing. And believe me when I tell you, God fought the battle. And the battle was won. All of my children are out now. They're all grown up. And my husband and I will be married now 37 years next month. And we are still loving together. So to God be the glory for all of the great things he has done. You've got to lay the foundation for your children. You've got to be an example. You've got to lead by example. You can't tell the children to do one thing while you're doing something different. You've got to stay focus and make sure that you say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yes, integrity, integrity, character. Bless the name of the Lord. Say you ate, and you know I steal a lot of your sayings, Pastor Westfield. There's a lot that I repeat, and some people might think it's me, my originals. They don't know that I got them from you, and one of them is you got to eat crow. Sometimes you have to eat crow to grow.
And a lot of people don't even know what that means.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. That means be humble and realize that you don't always have to have the last word. And sometimes, even if you know that you're right, sometimes you just got to stay quiet for peace's sake.
Yes. Yes, but that takes discipline, which you exhibit, and, you know, that strong will, you know, to refrain from speaking when you want to speak, you know, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So,
Absolutely. Boy,
the word has, I have witnessed the word making its transformation in your life, and so I know for sure that because I learned what it means to live holy by having you as my mother. I learned what it means to love, to live a life of sacrifice, and to love the way Christ loves because of you as my mother. And so, wow, that is really amazing when you can do all of that, handle so much and balance it all well and still keep God first. Didn't compromise with your children, didn't compromise with your husband, didn't compromise with anybody, but still keeping God first.
Amen.
That's awesome. awesome. Now, Pastor, now we know after 40 years of ministry, I think someone put it this way, that the test of success is not what you do when you are on top. Success is how high you bounce back when you hit the bottom.
Yes.
Now, we are sure over 40 years, we would love to say that everything was blissful and nothing but joy and happiness and you did everything right all the time. But if you could just be a little transparent with us on this evening and maybe just share with us, what was your biggest mistake in ministry and what have you learned from that?
As a leader?
Yes, ma'am.
As a leader, my biggest mistake was my lack of delegation, not realizing my limitation. I had to realize that I couldn't do everything by myself. I had to give others the opportunity to use the opportunity to use their God-given gifts and talents and to trust people. Because the church needs the pastor, but the pastor needs people also. That was my biggest mistake, not realizing my limitation. I didn't delegate when I should have. But I learned from my mistakes. And now the church is really united. The members are really united, and the growth is there. I can really see growth in the people now. Because I'm allowing them to really take a part in the program.
Wow. You could tell I'm your daughter because I was there in that same area for many years that God is helping me to do just as you said, to trust, to pray, and to trust other people.
Yes.
Because nothing is done unless it's done as it, nothing is completed successfully unless it's done as a team. So since you have learned that from your mistake, and so now how would you define success?
Oh, wow, to define success, you know, that is a good question, Evangelist Bradford. Success for me, of course, is the opposite of failure. I did not succeed in everything that I desired to accomplish. But in my reflection on the past, I was thinking about it a few days ago. I find that my successes far outweighs the things that I did not achieve. I would like to add that for me, success is knowing the will of God and doing them. Being a leader for 34 years, I can say that I've been successful because the church doors are still opened and people are still being blessed. People are still being saved. To me, that is success. We are not in debt. I'm blessed. We are surrounded with love. People love coming to our church and always bring a report of victory for things that they have asked God to do. And just, you know, we have a noonday prayer every Wednesday. And usually for people that come to our church on Wednesdays, I'm involved in that noonday prayer and ask and petition God for different things. They come back with a victory report. So, wow, what's going on? I prayed and God answered my prayers. Since coming here, one lady came. She had throat cancer. And she came and she said the doctors had really, really given her a bleak report and that she just felt so depressed. And she came for 6 weeks and became involved in that noonday prayer on Wednesdays and she was healed. now, and that's been a couple of years ago, and she's still healed. So for me, success is just realizing that you are not going to be successful in everything that you desire to accomplish, but when you can realize that your successes far outweighs the things that you do not achieve, you don't give up. If at first you don't succeed, try again and keep trying. Because if God calls you to it, he will bring you through it.
Yes, well, I know. I thank God for Temple of Refuge because there's a church that prayed me through when I was out there acting a little wayward for a season there. It's a church where I got my greatest inspiration, where I was groomed in ministry, where I was ordained as a minister. Also, I received many of revelations in sitting in church with the witty inventions and the ideas that God has given me. And I was telling someone else today, I said, I'm telling the truth, I can't praise God nowhere else like I can praise the Temple of Refuge. Because if I go to another church and try to praise God, they might throw me out of there. So I thank God for the liberty, the freedom of the spirit that is there. And not to mention that BAMming choir, that praise and worship team that you have going on. Pastor, maybe we have somebody on the line that might want to ask a question, so we're going to prepare for them. But you don't have to tell me because I know. And I believe this is one of the reasons that I've been running from the Lord, because I do feel a call that the Lord is calling me to sort of follow your lead, and I believe I have a pastoral anointing upon me. But because I was raised up under you and I saw the sacrifices, I saw what you, some of the things, and you never really, because one thing about you, which I highly respect, anything somebody shares with you, you don't even share with your husband.
No.
You don't share with your children. It goes it stops right there with Pastor Westfield. If they bring it to you, it ain't going nowhere.
Unless they tell.
Yes. And I'm telling you, that's to be commendable. I mean, when you're not even sharing with your husband, he don't even know what's going on. You know, because of the confidentiality that they can, you know, they can place in you and trust you as a leader, that when they come and share and confide with you, no one is going to know about it. So,
absolutely.
But we know that you have made so many sacrifices, Pastor Westfield. I know that. So just if you could just share with our listening audience, just what are just some of one, two, whatever you want to share with us, the sacrifices that you had you made as a pastor and to, you know, maintain, you know, up to this point, if you'd like to just share something with us tonight.
Well, I've had to make many sacrifices. Even the ministry is small, the people are great, and God is even greater. So I find that my love for people and my devotion to God caused me to make many, many sacrifices. You know what? It's not all about the money. Being a pastor, I want to encourage someone tonight by letting them know to pray again if you are desiring to become a pastor, to pray again, to make sure that your motives are right. The challenges are so great in being a pastor. You have to make sacrifices. It's not all about money. If it was all about money, I would close my church doors. It's not all about money, but you have to sacrifice your time. And sometimes, especially in the very beginning, you have to go into your own pockets to finance many things. And even for people who may not be at a level of financial success that were like that they would hope to be. You sometimes have to go into your own pocket, take out to help others, and I find that in making sacrifices, sometimes you may be called out of your home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning if someone is sick, had to be rushed to the hospital. You have to do it with a willingness, though. You cannot do it grudgingly, complaining or murmuring, offending someone else. Sometimes people want to see you, the pastor. And so there are many ways that you have to make sacrifices if you are going to be an effective pastor, and your time, finances, and just being away from your family, especially my husband. I mean, really, I thank God for blessing me to have a safe husband and to share in my success at being a pastor. He makes sure he supports me and gives me the freedom to do what I feel that God has given me to do. So that's a blessing. But be ready to make sacrifices if you are ever called as a pastor.
Well, and then for you to make all of those great sacrifices that you have made over the years, and then a pastor to have some members then to turn around and slap you in the face, and as much as, you know, you're there, you know, you're mentoring them, coaching them, babe, you know what I mean, walking them through it, and then they get on their feet, and then they leave the church, or they get on their feet, and they want to act contrary, or they want to get on their feet and forget, you know what I mean, that you were there for them in that time of need. I'm sure that, I'm sure that is, can be discouraging if you allow it to.
If you allow it to become discouraging. But that's what love would do. The Bible said to pray for these people. You know, you got to pray. Because usually when they act this way, that they have this type of behavior, and you find they leave the church, but they miss the love. They come back. For the most part, they come back. They miss the love. They come back. They come back. So you got to throw your arms around them. Let them know that I still love you. I forgive you. Even if you don't ask to be forgiven, I forgive you. Because when you have the Spirit of God, you have a forgiving spirit. And you don't even worry about it. You know, you just keep on leading. Keep on loving and keep on giving. Praise God.
Wow, just like Jesus, love covers a multitude of sins. And that is true. You miss the love because sometimes, you know, in another church, it could be a large church, a small church, but when that pastor is not personal with you and, you know, and you don't get the love and you got to make an appointment 4 weeks out, even, you know, get a 10-minute conversation, you know, it makes a difference, you know. So we thank God for you. We're wrapping it up now, coming down to some of the last questions here, Pastor. Let me ask you, so we have a question here that I wanted you to share with. Okay, could you share a leadership secret?
Oh, boy. I have many.
If you could just share a few leadership secrets with us, because we're empowering leadership in ministry and business and every sphere of influence. So what are some leadership secrets you have adopted over the years?
In order to be an effective leader, you must study the Word of God and lead by example. Lead your people by an example. You must be an example for the people. Amen. you know, if not, you'll be like the blind leading the blind. So you have to study the Word of God, lead your people by example. You must have a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, a passion for God, and a great love for God's people. Because listen, how can you lead others if you are not following Christ and allowing him to be your example? You must first learn to follow. If you're going to be a good leader, you must follow your pastor. If you're in a local church, learn how to follow your pastor. As your pastor, follow Christ. And you follow Christ by adhering to the Word of God. So just study the Word of God. Pray. You got to fast and pray. Believe me, you must fast and pray. The Word of God said many things come only by fasting and praying. And you sometimes I pray so much for others, I have to remember that I got to pray for myself. And so that's the secret that I wish to share with your listening audience, to have a passion for God. You must have a passion. You must have a passion for God and a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, and a great love for people. Not only, listen, not only God's people, but all people. The Word of God says, do too good to all men, especially they that are at the household of faith, of the household of faith. So that's my secret.
well put. Study to show yourself approved.
Yes.
Lead by example.
Yes.
You know, live the life you preach about.
You need
a servant's heart, love
yes.
God's people, and fasting and prayer. That is it. And for leadership examples, we're writing down for the last few minutes. If you have a question for Pastor Westfield, we may have time to get one in. Please let us know. Pastor Westfield, looks like everybody's just enjoying the conversation on tonight. Now, in your bio, you state that Isaiah 54 is your favorite chapter in the Bible. Can you just take a minute or two and just share with us what's encouraging to you there? Why that particular passage?
Well, years ago, I made an attempt to say something to someone. The Holy Spirit prompted me not to say. But I was so eager to tell this person this thing anyways. And I did. I rebelled the Holy Spirit. Because of that action, sometimes I don't even like to think about it. Because of that disobedience to the Holy Spirit, I could not feel the Spirit of the Lord for 3 days. I prayed, but I couldn't feel the presence of the Lord. So I went out one day, and I went to the supermarket to take my mother. And at that market, inside that market, I felt the Spirit of the Lord after 3 days. And I couldn't wait to get home. I took my mother home, and I came home. And I was so happy that I could feel the Spirit of the Lord again, the presence of God. I grabbed my Bible, and I just knelt down at my bed. And I opened the Bible, just fell open, the 54th Isaiah was there, right there. And I gazed down at these words, "For a small moment have I forsaken you." Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But I will not be wroth with you. Hallelujah. Listen, I cried for the rest of the day. I cried and I cried for the rest of that day. God had spoken to me through that chapter. And from that day, and that's been quite a while ago, and from that day up until now, it's one of my favorite verses because it really brought deliverance to my soul. Just reading the 54th chapter of Isaiah. And from that day up until this day, if the Holy Spirit prompts me not to say something, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to be disobedient. You cannot rebel, you know, when the Spirit speaks to you. You got to move when the Spirit speaks. You got to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is telling you to do or not to do. So I learned my lesson, but I also received a great word from God through the 54th chapter of Isaiah.
Wow. So you learned how to live holy. You learned how to obey God. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He let me know for a small moment. He said, for a small moment, I have forsaken you. I have not. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And guess what it said? Just what's entailed in that 54th chapter of Isaiah is exactly what I was going through. And but God has spoken to me. God spoke to me through that word. Yes.
Wow. Bless the name of the Lord. And we thank God for forgiveness. And we learn through our mistakes. We bless the Lord. We have a question coming in from a caller. Let's see what we have here. Thank you for calling to Mentoring and Leadership. Who do we have on the line?
Good evening, Sister Tina Dobbs. Just a question for Pastor Westfield. How are you this evening?
I'm doing so good, thank you.
Just listening to your comment, I'm just curious to if the number three has any significance to you as a result of your circumstances, because even as you were speaking, what came to my mind was even when Jonah was disobedient to God, he stayed in the belly of the well for 3 days. Not only that, when you see the number three, you get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I'm just trying to wonder, as a result of your situation, does the number three have any significance to you?
You know what? I never thought about it in that way before. But it makes good sense to me. Number three, because it was 3 days I couldn't feel the presence of the Lord. And it was on that fourth day that God spoke to me through that word.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But let me tell you something. Not being able to feel the presence of the Lord is like grasping for air, for breath. That you can't even breathe, you know. You know, I can imagine what it would be like to be eternally separated from God, because just those 3 days not being able to feel the presence of God really brought me to a place where I don't ever want to deviate from again in life.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You're listening to Pastor Evelyn H. Westfield tonight, the pastor of the Temple of Refuge Evangelistical Church located at 7544 Fayette Street in Philadelphia, a pioneer in ministry, stepping out over 40 years ago as a female minister and serving as a pastor for well over 35 years. Pastor, we are winding down to the last 5 minutes, and just a question just off the cuff here. What would you say that the churches are missing nowadays? We know what's happening at your church, but overall, what do you say? What's the missing ingredient that's missing in the churches today that's really stopping the holiness movement, you know, the way, the power that, you know, you came up under, I came up under, that we still see displayed at the Temple of Refuge Church? But what would you say is that the churches, for the most part, are missing?
Well, number one, too much tradition. Too much tradition. Number, another, you said missing or too?
Yes, missing.
Okay, missing. are prayers and unity. Prayers, the churches are not, people don't come together in prayers like they used to. We used to have revivals. We used to have prayer time when everyone that the members of the church would come together in prayers and bow down in sackcloth and ashes, you know, and that for that it's missing to a great degree. And also, it's just too much commercialism in the church. People are buying and selling. I think that that should not be. And so I think unity is missing. People don't, you know, used to be more concerned about each other. You know, there used to be a time if we would find that a person is sick, we would make sure we go take care of that individual, take something, a little care, a package for them, and call them up on the phone, send a little thank you cards, things like that. It's missing. Unity and prayers, fasting and praise. People are not fasting like they used to. So that's missing. So there are just so many things, a lot of ingredients are missing from the church today.
Because everybody's a little isolated in their own little world. I stepped into an elevator.
Absolutely.
Excuse me? Yes, I stepped into an elevator the other day with six people in the elevator, and everybody was texting on their cell phone. And I said, you know what? I said, this is a shame. I put my phone in my pocket and said, hello, everybody. You know, so we are truly, truly isolated. We have been listening to Pastor Evelyn H. Westfield, the pastor of the Temple of Refuge Evangelistical Church. She is a powerhouse preacher. She will preach you until you live right. Maybe you would like to have Pastor Westfield at your church and schedule a preaching appointment or talk to Pastor Evelyn H. Westfield. You can find out more about her at the church's website at www.templeofrefugechurch.org. And there you can find out more about her history and what she has done, what she is doing, and what she intends to do. Pastor, we want to thank God for you sharing with us on this evening. I'd like to just close with one last question, if I may. If you, in one word, Pastor Westfield, how would you characterize your life, your journey as a pastor, in one word?
Perseverance. Perseverance, because the word of God said, do not be weary in well doing, for in due season, I'm going to reap if I don't faint. So I feel that that's the one word that came to my mind. The word of God also said to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So perseverance is the one word that I take with me every day. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So even if you don't see it, you got to believe it and keep on moving. Praise God.
Boy, I tell you, I thank God for this interview tonight, because I'm telling you, it's just, I did not realize how much I was like you. I sort of knew that I was, you know, I always tell everyone that Pastor Westfield is the rock. We just a chip off the rock. But I didn't realize how much I was like you. Just reinforce that, because that is my same motto also in life. Persist until you succeed. So
yeah.
I grow in a little bit more love. I might be close to you, but I think I got to grow a little bit more in my love life to come close to the life that you have exhibited and still exhibiting. Again, Pastor Evelyn H. Westfield, the pastor of the Temple of Refuge Church of www.templeofrefugechurch.org. Remember also, please, to Look us up on our website at ourfreedabradford.com. There you will find forthcoming information in reference to our mega conference taking place in June. Don't forget to set your alarm clock or your DVD recorder for 4:30 a.m. as we broadcast on this Sunday for our next episode on the Word Channel as we are going around the globe, 196 countries, carrying the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to make a donation to our ministry to keep us on the air, to keep us on global television, to help us in our efforts as we move forward, lifting up the King and the kingdom of God. Maybe you would like to be a sponsor by placing a banner ad, a logo ad, or a supporter ad on our website where millions of people around the world will know about your business, your ministry, and your contact. Again, all this information can be found on our website at www.alfredabradford.com. Well, until the next time, we will meet you here, same time, same place, same station on Mentoring and Leadership with Alfreda B, where we are here to encourage, empower, and motivate the leader in you that God has called you to be. Again, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Pastor Evelyn Westfield, for sharing and being so candid and transparent and encouraging to us on this evening. Thank you so much for your time, and we love you here at Mentoring and Leadership, and you know I do.
Praise God. You have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother, and the same to you. Thank you, our listening audience, and everyone have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on his promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say, I'm waiting. Big Keith.